We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
Let's talk to Olin Krutz.
Happy Thanksgiving, how you doing, man?
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, for sure. Watch football all day and eat as much food as I can.
Paint us a picture. What's the ideal Olin Krutz plate?
So I'll go with turkey and gravy, right, like everybody else.
I get the same thing.
No, he's not. He's as American as you and I are, but...
Reverend, happy Thanksgiving. Model, who needs it? Oh, come on. Turkey, sweet potatoes, pumpkin pie, you gotta love all that, huh?
Yes, because you never lived through the Y.O. version. Major antipas first, then soup, meatballs and scarole, then the baked manigot, then the bird.
Oh, I love manicotti.
Turkeys are here.
There's some in here, too.
After all, turkeys are closely related to vultures. I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
So can you give me a fantasy power rankings of, say, Thanksgiving side dishes?
Well, I can tell you this much. It's not the yams. That's for sure.
Almost time for turkey sandwiches.
Go eat us some turkey dinner. Happy Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving morning, it's spooky out there.
Gobble, gobble, turkey.
You got the turkey baster.
Jive turkey gobbler.
Jimenez, he's your hero tonight. Thanks, Cubs.
Where's the turkey?
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is here. I'm on vacation until next Monday. Like, yeah, technically, there still is another hour of radio speaks, but the man is on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. He's on the Twitch page, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. It's not work if we're hanging out with Dave Wanstead for 40 minutes. What's up, Coach?
Not much. I love the Thanksgiving voice there. It heard what Olin Krutz was going to eat. I can appreciate that. Got to love it, you know? Absolutely. Hopefully everyone's having a nice... Oh, where you at?
Yeah. Dave, for you. I poured a little Malbec.
Well, here, I'll give you a little toast, okay? Yeah. A little Malbec.
Yeah, what's that for you? Say a little Bradshaw bourbon?
Little Terry Bradshaw bourbon. That's exactly right. You drink this stuff. Hey, let me tell you that. If you're sipping on this Bradshaw bourbon, you won't need to be wearing a tassel cap, okay? You'll be plenty warm enough.
Thank you,
This warms you up in a hurry. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how many of these bottles did he give you, Coach? I mean, you're drinking this stuff seemingly fairly regularly.
No, you know what, though? Two fingers, that's term, you know, that's bourbon whiskey talk, Danny, okay? Two fingers worth.
Yeah, I worked in a restaurant, I know.
Yeah. I'll sip on that all night, so it's really easy. I don't...
You're such a liar. You're going to refill by the second
I'm
segment.
Telling, I tell you what will make you refill is when my Pitt Panthers beat those Clemson Tigers this week.
That's the funniest joke you've told all year.
Well, that's 26 points. Give me the points, and we'll... Yeah. We'll do a little something, a little bottle of the bourbon, Bradshaw bourbon, for a bottle of your wine.
Done. Well, because I owe you a bottle of wine for Clemson LSU last year, And then you owe me a bottle of wine for Clemson, Miami this year. And now we'll do the bourbon against the. So we're going to just get hammered together whenever we can see each other after this pandemic. We're going to owe each other like five bottles of booze. So, okay, 26 points. Nice bottle of red against a bottle of bourbon.
I think that's a spread. I can't believe it. Pitt's got one of the best defenses in the entire country. And their quarterback, Kenny Pickett, I'm telling you, I think Clemson will win, but it's going to be a two-score game.
Okay, well, you're trying to steal 2.5 points from me, Dave. It's 23.5 right
now. It's dropping then.
Okay, well, then they like Pitt. 23, so you want to 24? Want to make it 24?
Even, 24.
Perfect. Okay, 24. Wow. Bottle of bourbon against a bottle of wine. Speaks, you want in on this? What are you drinking?
No, I'm good. I got nothing. See, my problem is I can't just sip on two fingers all night. If I filled one, I would be hitting it a second time by the time the second segment comes along. And before you know it, I'm asleep in 90 minutes. So,
Spiggs, are you going to relax a little bit tomorrow and this weekend and have a little bit to eat?
Yes, I will, Coach, as a matter of fact.
All right, I'm just checking.
Yeah, no, thank you for your concern. I appreciate it. All right, so you heard Olin. What is it for you? What are you looking forward to just destroying at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow, Coach?
Well, I'll be with my daughters and my grandkids, and I'm in charge of cutting the turkey. So I'm a leg man, okay? So I get two legs. I'll chew on one of those legs, and then the wings and legs, that's kind of me. Beforehand, though, I'm always looking for, you know, the inside, the gizzards. My wife will boil those, pick on them. Oh, it's great. Yeah,
that's the good stuff.
Exactly. None of that slice of the white meat and put gravy on it. Come on, that's too simple.
Okay. Well, so give me, we did this with Tom Thayer earlier. Like, you know, talk about it in football terms. Like, give us the scouting report on some Thanksgiving items for us. Like, give us a scouting report on stuffing, Dave wants that.
Well, scouting report on stuffing. It's definitely got to be, in my opinion, a little bit moist, right? So it's got to be, it's got to have a little life to it. It's got to have a little bit of maybe cranberries mixed in there, a little bit of walnuts broken up in there. You know, so that way it's kind of a meal in itself. You know, you're just not having that. So it can be dangerous. That would be my scouting report. Be careful with my stuffing, okay, the way my daughters and wife make it. It could be dangerous.
Sure. That makes sense. So, okay, give us a, you know, if it was a draft board, okay, you're getting ready to make some picks here. How would you power rank Thanksgiving desserts on the Dave Wannstedt Thanksgiving draft board?
I'm an old traditionalist. I mean, there's only one. It's pumpkin pie or nothing for me. That's it.
One name on your board. It's like Ricky Williams. You're just trading everything to go out and get Ricky Williams.
I'm getting the one that wins for you. That's what I'm going to get, right? Yeah. No experimenting.
Little Cool Whip on there?
You know what's interesting? When I was coaching up at Buffalo, a guy that owned the Paulo's Restaurant, for anybody that's listening that's ever been to Buffalo, New York, it's a famous place. His dad owned it. It's been there forever. The Paulo's Restaurant. And Dennis DiPaolo obviously owns it, and we became very good friends. And he invited my wife and I over to his house for Thanksgiving once. And this was a classic because we go over to his house, and, you know, and it's a table for 25 people, all the relatives, all the families there, a couple other coaches, and we sit down, and he brings out the first dish we have. He made everything. He brings out a green salad. So, okay. So I eat a green salad, okay?
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting there, and then he comes out and says, okay, I hope everybody's hungry. He starts putting these big bowls, family style, of different pastas on the table. And I lean over to my wife. I says, is this, well, the Italian tradition is you eat some pasta before you get into the turkey dinner. So I swear we had salad. Yep. We had that. It was like, it was a meal. And then all of a sudden here comes the cranberries, and here comes the stuffing and the turkey and the potatoes and everything else that goes with it.
Yeah, you're just putting on a base. You're just getting that base going with the salad and the pasta before you really start to fill it up.
I had never experienced that before, so it was very interesting. Yeah, it was good,
Hey, Coach, how did all those Thanksgivings go for you in Dallas? Dallas and Detroit have been playing Thanksgiving games since 1978. When you're coaching in Dallas with Jimmy, did you guys eat after? Were you eating Thanksgiving meals late into the night? How did it work?
That's a great question, because you... Right now, if we're talking to one of my daughters and you would ask them the same question, this would be their response. This year, Thanksgiving is on a Wednesday. Everybody understand that. It's not Thursday. This year, Thanksgiving is on a Saturday. Now, I played Thanksgiving Day games when I was at college at Pitt. Like you said, at Dallas, at the Bears, I think I played two or three. When I was at the Dolphins, we had played the Cowboys. So I've had plenty of, and the whole key is, you know, your poor kids, because they're a mess. They have no idea what day Thanksgiving is, because they would come to me as they were growing up and say, Dad, this year, what day is Thanksgiving? And I would say, Thanksgiving is Saturday this year, okay? Because we're traveling, and time I get home, or Friday, whatever it might be. So it was really never the traditional one, to be honest with you. But it was always just as good, trust me. It's all about
now that you can spend Thanksgiving with them, like do you get it? Like, do you get the appeal of, oh man, we're gonna watch the Lions, then we're gonna watch the Cowboys, then we're gonna eat like a 7-course meal? I mean, do you like it this way?
Yeah, I do. Now, yeah, last year I'm trying to think. Last year, my one daughter was Indianapolis. My wife was in Naples, Florida. There was something going on there. I went out to my other daughter's house and got a plate to go, I think, and came home and watched the Steelers play. I think the Steelers played last year, from what I remember. So it's a great time for families to get together. But, you know, it's never kind of been something that, the 1st of November, I'm sitting there saying, God, I can't wait till Thanksgiving. That hasn't been on my plate.
It's football, Coach. Thanksgiving is football.
Steelers game got pushed.
Yep. It got pushed. We got two games with bad teams tomorrow, but we'll see. All right, I can't get off it, though. So Dallas and Miami, 1993 in the snow on Thanksgiving with Keith Byers doing snow angels in the end zone. Are you there? You're not with the Bears yet. You must have been there.
And I'm going to give you a story on that one. Okay.
Okay.
I'm at the Bears. It's my first year. We had played three road games in 11 days and won all three. And that particular day, we played the Lions that morning. And I don't know how this worked out. I was talking with Tony Wise about this the other day. Brian Harlan, we were talking. And somehow we played the Lions. We won. And I was able to get home. And I remember walking in my house in Lake Forest. And the game was on TV. And it was right before the field goal, and I saw Leon touch it, and I saw the end of the game.
Yep.
So I remember it vividly. But we had played that morning, and that's how, you know, somehow we got home that fast.
Gotcha.
What do coaches tell the team, like if they're playing on Thanksgiving and they can't do Thanksgiving with their family? What do you tell your players to do?
Traditionally, you always come in early. Like generally, you come in at 8 and you practice maybe at 12 or 1, you know, after lunch, you have your walkthroughs. And what I would do and what we did at Dallas, and I'm sure most of the coaches do this, you give the players, hey, if everybody agrees to come in and we start at 6 o'clock, we'll push everything up and we'll be on the field by 11 and you'll be off by noon or 12:30. And then everybody gets the afternoon off to go and, you know, enjoy Thanksgiving with their family. So that's, I'm going to guess that that's the way it's still being done.
Dave, yesterday on the show, had a little fun at Mike McCarthy's expense. I don't know if you saw the story. He smashed a bunch of watermelons in a hotel ballroom. He took a sledgehammer out
and he smashed watermelons. He was like, this is what we're going to do to Dalvin Cook, and this is what we're going to do to this guy. And he exploded a bunch of watermelons all over the room, and apparently the players loved it, and then the Cowboys went out and pulled off the upset over the Vikings when they were 7-point underdogs. What's the craziest, like, motivational pregame stunt that either you did, but maybe, like, Jimmy Johnson or, like, you know, a big personality coach? Because I think we've talked to you about some of them before, but, like, what's the craziest stunt you've been a part of to pump a team up before a game?
Well, the one that I did, and it really started early in the week. I don't know if we talked about this. We were playing the San Diego Chargers, and they weren't very good, and we were real good at Miami. And so when the players came into the team meeting, I had had the manager go out and buy a small 50 of those mouse traps. And I had a small mouse trap on everyone's desk. And then when they went in the locker room, I had one of those huge ones, an industrial one, and it was hanging from the ceiling in the middle of the locker room. And it was the mentality of, hey, and every time that they kidded about the mousetrap, they would obviously think that the purpose of it was that we're not going to get trapped. We're not going to be the mouse. So I've done some trap game. I've done some stuff like that. Before the game, though, I mean, it's I can get that. He had to do something to shake his team up. You know, it was always interesting to me because a lot of times the coaches are going through the week and you're always looking for something for that last night meeting. And I remember and this week, like they talked about the Chiefs and the Raiders, and they says, Andy Reid, you know, that's just because they rode their buses around the stadium last time. Will that be used? Well, I've had instances where in college and in the pros, the night before the game, something comes out in the paper, something comes out in the media, and boy, you use that. You know, you're always looking for something to give your team a little bit of an edge or put a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. So it comes in a lot of different ways. And so it worked, I guess, you know.
Patrick,
you can't do it all the time.
Pat Fitzgerald was given a gift. The Northwestern coach given a gift this week when Reese Davis and Joey Galloway after the team. And he used it like crazy, coach. He had the players at practice going, hey, look, it's Reese Davis. Hey, look, it's Reese Davis. Now they got T-shirts. They won a game. All that stuff. So it works in college. Can it work in the pros? I mean, do pro guys respond to it the same way?
I think so. You know, they listen. They might not get as giddy and repeat it, and they might pretend like they don't. But if it's a clear message, the guys get it. You know, they do. They understand it. And I think that was a great ploy by Fitz. It really was. It got a lot of attention nationally. But it, more importantly, I think his players, he used that, as I said earlier, to put that chip on their shoulder and say, hey, they don't think we're very good. So
how much of them have you seen? Do you think they can win the Big Ten?
Can they win? Sure. I mean, they can. The biggest thing that Northwestern has to do, and obviously with Wisconsin being eliminated now, I mean, they got to win one of their last three games. I think they'll win all three of them, and they're going to be the representative of the West playing probably Ohio State. But the one thing, you know, the quarterback is the been a difference in that team, in my opinion, Peyton Ramsey. Transfer from IU, and their defense is probably, I would say, them in Indiana, but I'll give the nudge to Northwestern. They've got the best defense in the conference. I really believe that. And to me, the one thing it's missing is their running game has been very average. And usually Fitz is all about running the ball, playing defense, and they're trying, you know, and they got the Bowser kid, I know, has been playing for 3 years. But that's the one area that they need to improve, I think, if they're going to line up and beat a team like Ohio State. They got to be able to run the ball some, because you're not going to be able to hold the ball and drop back and throw it against Ohio State.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they have the speed to hang with Ohio State? Because to me, like, when I watch college football and when I watch some of that Northwestern-Wisconsin game, like, that's the difference maker, right? Like, in the pros, basically everyone's the same speed and athleticism, right? It's a small margin of error. Then it comes down to talent and coaching and scheme. In college, like, you could just step on a field
with another team in your same conference, same game, and it's like, holy crap, we got a bunch of 4-6 guys, they got a bunch of 4-4 guys, and we've got no chance. And it feels to me like just and I know you make fun of me for this, but like my eye test with Northwestern is really well coached, but like if they actually stepped on a field with a tier one team, they would just get run off the field. That's what my eye test tells me, but I don't know.
No, and you know, your eye test is obviously not very good, but your reasoning is good. your reasoning behind it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you just look at the difference in speed and athleticism with maybe receivers, with the skill positions.
Yeah.
You know, the linemen they can match up with the skill guys. You know, it's difference, but you still have to play the game, and turnovers are a factor, and we're talking trap games. I mean, you could fall into a trap real quick there.
But if it's Northwestern Ohio State, it's the Big Ten championship for Ohio State to go to the playoff. I doubt that would be a trap game.
Right. You know what's interesting is the year that Urban Meyer won the national championship, and I remember the perception at that time was Big Ten, you know, three plays in a cloud of dust, and they got to play defense, and they're going to run the ball, but they don't have the athletes to line up and play with Clemson or Alabama's of the world or Georgia's. You know, how are they ever going to win a national championship? And Ohio State, Urban Meyer, with his background being at Florida in the Southeast Conference, I remember watching that game and saying, you know what? These guys could play and run and athletically cover anyone in the country. And I think that's what Ohio State has going for them. Makes a big difference.
All right, pour yourself some more of that Bradshaw bourbon. I'll reload on some wine. We'll keep telling football stories and get you ready for the football weekend and Thanksgiving with Dave Wanstead on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Dave Wanstead.
I test.
With Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Welcome back to the Danny Parkin Show. Matt Spiegel is in, and yes, we are joined by Dave Wanstead and his two adorable grandkids on the Twitch page, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Dave, your camera shot got much cuter, much more adorable. I got to be honest with you.
Absolutely, they did. They were curious what Pap was doing in here, so they came in and... we got to make sure that you clean everything up now, Danny boy. You know what I mean? Everything. You got little kids listening here, Spigs.
We got them, Coach. Let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. Would they like to call some plays for the Bears offense? Are they interested?
Whoa. Yeah, he would. This one would like to play quarterback. He's going to be a quarterback. Trust me. Okay, yeah, look at him shaking
his head. Is he available Sunday night, Coach? We're interested.
No. You know what, though? On a serious note, I think the door is open for Coach Nagy to bring Mitch back as a starter. I've heard too much that, you know, you got Foles, who knows the extent of that hip pointer, one. And number two, all I've heard all week is we're going to get back to running the ball. We got to do what we did. We're going to see the Detroit Lion game plan is what you're going to see for our listeners. So get ready. We're going to see a tight end, sometimes a fullback. I think we're going to see Mitch in there. We're going to see some quarterback run. We're going to see Mitch sprinting out. That's going to be the game plan, what they did the first couple weeks of the season. And I think at this point, it definitely gives them the best chance to win. So whether Matt Nagy believes in it or wants to do it, if he does it, he at least, you know, is realizing that that's where they're at. I mean, that's where the reality is.
And you can, I mean, listen, I don't know if you're picking them to win, but you can run on Green Bay in theory. I don't know if the Bears can, but good teams can run on Green Bay.
Yes, absolutely they can. And the Bears are going to do that. I bet you Montgomery 25 carries this week. I mean, I think it's going to be a heavy dose. And I said this earlier, guys, we talked. If Matt Nagy did one thing in the bye week, I hope he focused on how can we help our offensive line? How can we help these guys? And whether it's running the ball or whether it's pass protection, keeping a tight end in, keeping the fullback in, whatever you got to do, give these guys a little bit of help. So, and I think that that's the plan. I mean, if I'm reading between the lines correctly, that's the plan. The one thing that this game that makes me a little nervous is if Akeem Hicks is out, and we don't know how bad that hamstring is. At least I don't know. Did the injury report come out? It should have. You guys got the injury report?
Yeah,
it should have come out.
I'm pretty sure he was DNP. I don't believe he. Okay. Grody mentioned it. I'll have it for you here in two seconds.
Yeah. But. So, because he's the one guy. Last year when they really struggled on defense, if you think about it, he was the one missing link that I thought, you know, was kind of the foundation, the cornerstone of that defense. So if he doesn't play, I think that Aaron Jones, the running back from the Packers, hey, he's 12th. He's averaging about 66 yards a game rushing. He is 12th in the National Football League as far as running backs running the ball. So, you know, but they had a little bit of a problem, just like the Bears do. They didn't want to run the ball last week. 10 carries against the Colts. And then you throw a play-action pass on 4th-and-1, and nobody reacts to it, and the guy's covered, and you have to give the game away. I mean, that was horrible, in my opinion. I mean, how do you expect them to bite up and react to a play-action pass if you're not running the ball? Mm-hmm. I don't get some of these things don't make much sense to me, but, you know, I'm a little bit of a dinosaur when it comes to that stuff.
Well, yeah, and Jamal Williams was in the backfield. It wasn't even Aaron Jones, so there was no threat of it being a run.
That was
one of the worst play calls of the season. I agree. As a guy who likes to pass the ball, that was terrible. DNP for Hicks, Foles, Trevathan, and Jimmy Graham. So all four of those missed practice today. Obviously, we don't know yet about Hicks for the game. We'll know later in the week, but not looking good for him. So far.
So Trevathan, that's I don't like that news about Trevathan, because to ask you about something that's been going very well, when they're playing well, when they're looking healthy and fast as they have, especially Trevathan, what makes Trevathan and Roquan Smith such a good tandem in terms of stopping the run and in terms of communicating, linebackers like that? Coach, you've coached linebackers your whole life, right? Linebackers and defense. When I watch them and I see them functioning well, why are they functioning so well these days?
Akeem Hicks and the defensive line, really. Your linebackers are only as good as your defensive linemen. If those guys are making plays, it's like the Rams. You know, you play the Rams, the first conversation that every coach has is, how many guys do we have to have to block Aaron Donald? Do we have to put two on him? Do we have to put three on him? What do we got to do? And the minute that you start putting two blockers on one defensive lineman, your linebackers are going to be free. And that's what Akeem Hicks and this entire defensive line. I mean, all these guys are playing, I think, lights out. They truly are. They're playing really good.
Two pieces of news, one that is very sad to pass along and we'll want Dave Wannstedt to react to. But first, in terms of the cancellation of tomorrow night's Thursday night game between the Ravens and Steelers, the Ravens have disciplined a strength and conditioning coach for not reporting symptoms and not consistently wearing a mask or tracking device, which may have contributed to the team's rash of COVID-19 cases. That, according to NFL reporter Tom Pelissero. And then, Dave, I don't know if I'm breaking this news to you, and I apologize if I am, but Marcus Paul, the former Bear, Cowboys have confirmed and released statements from both Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones that he passed away. He was a Bears draft pick out of Syracuse in 1989. I believe you crossed paths with him in 93 when you got to the Bears. So my condolences. I assume you knew Marcus Paul fairly well.
Yeah, I did, and I've been on top of the situation, talked to people in Dallas, talked to people that were actually there in Dallas when it happened, and just a tragic, tragic, tragic thing. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy in his 50s, it's a strength coach, it's in as good a shape, as better shape than the players are, and something like this happens. I mean, it just makes you say, hey, you don't know, you know, you don't know. Live every day to the fullest, because it's very sad. It's shocking and sad.
It's terrible news. And a beloved guy in NFL circles and Syracuse circles too, right, Danny? I know, like, much discussed.
He was always back and around the program. I never met him, but you know, he was one of the guys that his name rang out within the program, and was one of the guys that they were obviously very proud of from that era of Syracuse football when there still was a good era of Syracuse football. What was he like as a guy, Dave?
The same way, dependable. I mean, first class guy, all bought the team, and he was here with me for a year, and then he actually bounced around a little bit, and then when Coach Ditka was coaching the Saints, I remember we went down and we worked out against those guys, and he was the assistant weight coach at the time. And Coach Ditka thought that much of him that he brought him on staff and gave him a position, really. And that's how he got started in this. And then I was speaking in Dallas 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, for something, a function for the NFL. And I went by, it was at the facility, so I went down in the weight room. I was going to get a workout in. And him and Mike Weissig, who was the head strength coach, they were both there, and we spent 2 hours together and had a bite to eat, and just great guy, great family man. Players loved him.
So go
ahead, Speaks.
Yeah, sorry, but so it's a strength coach in Marcus Paul there, and a strength coach in Baltimore that's getting disciplined, as you mentioned, Danny, for COVID. Those guys, man, you got to be careful, because those guys are, you know, they're going to interact with a whole bunch of different players every day. That's a brutal choice, apparently, by that strength coach in Baltimore. You understand where the Steelers are coming from, as they've been griping and complaining about this stuff, Coach, today, now that the game gets moved? They've been affected in a very negative way, schedule-wise. It's a tough situation.
Well, I can tell you this. There's no better feeling. And I remember we went down and played the Cowboys. I forget what year it was. 2003, maybe. We played them on a Thanksgiving Day game. Bill Parcells was the coach down there, and we beat them. And I remember in the locker room afterwards, Jason Taylor coming up to me and saying, you know, we were talking about what a great win it was. And he says, geez, Coach, he says, you know, is there any better feeling than to win a Thanksgiving Day game and know that you're going to go home with your family and have Thanksgiving, and you've got the weekend off to watch everybody else play. And so back to your question about the Steelers had their bye. They lost their bye because of the COVID situation with Tennessee. Remember when that game got moved?
Yep.
So if you're a player, you're looking forward to that week off. And nowadays, not to go on vacation, but just to get rest. And now that's taken away from you. And now all of a sudden you're going to have a long weekend with hopefully a win, your Thanksgiving weekend, and now that's taken from you. So I get the frustration by the Steeler players. I truly do. Obviously the league's doing what they have to do to keep playing these games, but I understand.
Dave, listen, great stuff. Go be with your grandkids. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Stay safe. Safe travels out to L.A. This weekend, and we'll talk next week, all right? And enjoy that Bradshaw bourbon.
Yes, you know I'm going to do that. We'll see how my daughter's cooked the turkey. That's to be seen, but I'm going to enjoy this bourbon.
Yeah, not too much of the bourbon before you carve the turkey, Coach. I mean, we don't want a spectacle out there. We don't want any blood on the table either.
That will not happen. Yeah, you got that. All right, see you guys.
And well, no, hold on. Save a bottle. Like, don't drink every bottle of Bradshaw bourbon you have, because when Clemson 30 balls Pitt, you got to put one aside for me. Okay.
Text me. I have your number. I'll be texting you Saturday night. I'll be in LA. I'll text you.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Thank you. This guy has my number. Yeah. I'm gonna text you. I'm gonna be taunting you during the game. All right, Speak. So, again, condolences to Marcus Paul and his family, passing away suddenly in his early 50s, strength and conditioning coach of the Cowboys, former Bears fourth-round draft pick in 1989. So very sad news heading into the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. We'll put a bow on this thing. Matt Spiegel in on the Danny Parkin Show on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
John, this is a little off-topic, but with Thanksgiving coming around the corner tomorrow, is there a certain dish that you must see on the table tomorrow?
Man, you're killing me with some of your questions, man. I'm just hoping I got a place to go. Right now, you know, we lose to Kansas City. I'm lucky to have a place to go.
God, football people can be the absolute worst.
Gruden. That's John Gruden making, what's he making, $10 million a year? More than that.
Yeah, I know. I think it was 10 years, $100 million, right?
10 years, $100 million, just hoping I have a place to go.
Coach. What a loser. It's like when we asked Alex Smith for his favorite Thanksgiving food. He hemmed and he hawed. He's like, well, so many to choose from, but I guess turkey just really stands out.
Nope.
You're like diet vanilla ice cream, like the nicest, smartest dude ever, and I respect the hell out of you, but my God, grow a personality.
Coach, since it is Thanksgiving, I was wondering what you were most thankful for and maybe a side dish or two that's your favorite.
Well, I'm most thankful for my family and thankful for being the head coach of Louisiana State University. That has been a blessing in my life. And there's no question that oyster dressing is my favorite for Thanksgiving.
He's a Cajun.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Football people. Did you like that impression, Danny? How'd I do?
Yeah, that was good, man. That was certainly jarring.
Thank you. My first time trying it. Oh, God.
They're often better the first time you try it when it just kind of naturally pops out.
Yeah.
You know? And then you start thinking about it too much. Yeah, right. You start thinking about it too much and it all goes to hell. Did you see that our guy, the Ginger Giraffe, is back in action down there in Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah. Mike Glennon getting his first start since 2017. Absolutely.
Mike Glennon has been battling all camp to secure the backup quarterback job. Right now, he's ahead by a neck.
So good. So good.
Oh, it's so strong. And they named the giraffe in Memphis after Ja Morant. We're calling him Ja Raff. They should name one after Mike Glennon or Merton Hanks. Yeah, there it is. Well done. But I saw this quarterback carousel, and I think it's the most pathetic quarterback carousel I've ever seen. I want to share it with you. Okay,
please. Let's end on a happy note.
Go ahead. I think so. Mike Glennon was benched for Mitch Trubisky.
That's right.
Mitch Trubisky was benched for Nick Foles.
That's right.
Nick Foles was benched after he was hurt, but essentially benched for Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew was benched for Jake Luton down there in Jacksonville. Mm. And now Luton has been benched for Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
How pathetic.
I shut it down.
Is that? I mean, that's a five-pack. Just spin the wheel and do as best you can here in the NFL.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I mean, whenever you're compared to either the Jets or the Jaguars,
it's not good.
It's just not where you want to be. But it's a bad situation, man. And listen, I think it's going to be Mitch Sunday night. I don't think it's going to matter much. I think they will be a little better than they've been because they're coming off a bye, so they should be healthy and a lot of game planning for this specific opponent. But they're going to lose by double digits to the Packers, regardless of who's at quarterback.
I just hope when I see you next week that spark that died last Monday night, whatever it is that died in there, comes back to life just a little bit.
Okay.
That it's alive. It's alive. Some of that Bears love, that passion. So I hope they play with a little bit more joy. Hope it's a little more fun to watch on Sunday night. That would go a long, long way, frankly.
It would. Just don't be embarrassing. Like honestly, every game during this losing streak, it's like timeout, 18-yard game, timeout, delay of game. Or four straight three and outs, or like there's a fight and then a Nick Foles interception. Like, every game has had just like unbelievably embarrassing offensive sequences that make it a not enjoyable 3.5 hours. You don't have to win a Super Bowl. Just don't make me embarrassed to be spending my time with you.
Hey, man, anything that is better than 42-0 at the half with Aaron Rodgers having 6 touchdowns is an improvement over the Trestman Green Bay game after the bye in 2014. So, you know,
never
they
say
can
it can't get worse.
Yeah, they can do that.
Hey, man, it's been...
This is downright embarrassing. This is a proud franchise that's being humiliated here today.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Christine, and the Rubster, and your family, man. It's been fun.
Hey, thank you, man. You too. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Steph and Evan and to Brad and
yes.
Your mama and your papa and the other siblings. And hope everyone has a very healthy and enjoyable day tomorrow. You guys deserve it for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, 2020 has been a bit of a monster, but I'm hoping that tomorrow is going to be just an absolutely awesome day with the family. So
happy Thanksgiving, Chicago.
Oh, my God. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Jordan Mailey, thank you very much for sitting in for both Shane Reardon and Nick Shepkowski. We appreciate you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Happy Thanksgiving, Tanny, to you and yours. Please give my best to the family. Our guest today, Dave Wanstead, Tom Thayer, and Mark Grody. Oh, I apologize. Who's coming up next?
Bears What's All happening? Access.
Bears All Access is coming up, and then it is Mark Grody. For Matt Spiegel, my name is Danny Parkins. This is the Danny Parkins Show on The Score.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.